Take your Bible tonight, if you will, to the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 10. I want to speak to you tonight on the subject of the promotion of Moses. If you have children and you want to send them back to the children's meeting, you can do that now. They're going back. And the promotion of Moses is what I want to look with you, speak to you about tonight. I'm going to begin reading there in Exodus chapter, I said chapter 10, but it's chapter 11. Exodus chapter 11, all right? I think I gave y'all the wrong chapter too, brother. But all you have to do is change it, right? So Exodus chapter 11, if you will, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Moses, yet will I bring one plague more upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. Afterwards he will let you go hence. When he shall let you go, he shall surely thrust you out hence altogether. Speak now in the ears of the people, and let every man borrow of his neighbor, and every woman of her neighbor, jewels of silver and jewels of gold. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt, in the sight of Pharaoh's servants, and in the sight of the people. Now notice, if you will, there in that last verse, verse 3 we just read, right about middle of the verse where it says, moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt. Very great in the land of Egypt. Now, he got there because of the promotion of God. God promoted Moses, all right? And just want to look at it. And I think about it this way, you know, one thing that is definitely not lacking in our day is self-promotion. We live in a day of self-promotion in the sports world. A few years, well, it's been several years back, we had a boxer going around proclaiming to everybody that would listen, I am the greatest, very humble fella. And then most athletes today are crowing and strutting after a successful shot or a goal or a touchdown or a tackle or just a nice move on the bench, I think, sometimes. Gets them all excited and gets them going, you know. Then in the world of entertainment, the unreal reality shows, you know, and we hire somebody to be our publicist to keep our name out there. We live in a day of self-promotion. Who would have thought it? Who would have thought years ago that most pictures that are taken today are selfies? I've been around kids at school, and we'd be going somewhere, maybe, you know, a ball team or something like that, and, man, them kids get their camera out. They're not taking pictures. They're taking pictures of themselves from every possible angle, you know. Hey, we live in a day of self-promotion. Therefore, it's no surprise that none of these folks here, all right, and none of those folks in the world today would be thought guilty of believing what the Bible says over in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. Now, here's what it says. It says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. In due time. Folks don't seem to believe that. And unfortunately, I think that worldly idea has saturated the world of Christianity too. There's not much humbleness. There's not much meekness on display. It really seems like there's one main proverb that people in our day believe, and it's not a biblical proverb. It's that old Chinese proverb. You probably heard it. He who tooteth not his own horn, the same shall not be tooted. That seems to be the prevalent idea in our day today. But, hey, wait a minute. The life of Moses, if you will, I believe, shows us the truth of 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6 in real life. I mean, we get a real display of it. God exalted Moses in an unbelievable way. Just think with me, if you would, all right? I think there's reasons why he did. In the first place, I think because Moses humbled himself before God. Just as the scripture said, if we'll humble ourselves, he'll exalt us. Moses humbled himself before God. You think about it, all right? Hebrews chapter 11 there tells us that Moses chose to suffer affliction with the people of God. He chose to suffer affliction rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He could have, had he wanted to, strutted around letting everybody know that, hey, I live in Pharaoh's palace. I am there, okay? Pharaoh's daughter was his adoptive mom, okay? He grew up from the time of a infant. He grew up in Pharaoh's palace. He was taken in. Well, I hope you know that story of how his mom put him out in the bulrush, you know, in the ark, and there, and he floated and lined it up where Pharaoh's daughter would find him and took him in. And he grew up in that palace life, but at some point in time, Moses realized that a life lived in submission to God is so much better than all the glories of Egypt. And boy, if we could just get a grasp on that truth in Christianity today and among God's people, that a life spent in submission to God is a lot better than all the glory that'll ever come from the world, man, it'd make a difference for us, all right? And if we just grasp that, and Moses did that, some point he decided, hey, I'm going to align myself with the people of God. I'm going to align myself with them. Now, I believe he knew he was one of them. That wasn't a secret. Hey, his mom had been hired as the nurse to nurse him and raise him, if you will. And I'm sure she instructed him and taught him. So he knew it, but he had a choice. He had a choice. But you and I do too. We've got a choice. Hey, we can decide who we're going to line up with, all right? Are we going to line up with the people of God? Are we going to get involved with them? Are we going to be faithful to them and to be one of them? And to, if it means suffer reproach, we'll suffer reproach. But we're going to give up what the world looks at and brags on, said, oh, the glory of Egypt. Man, it pales in comparison to the things of God if you just get a different perspective on life, okay? Now, I realize it's hard to get that perspective. We're surrounded by the world, all right? We're surrounded and we're bombarded with how wonderful it is. We have these goofy shows on TV that are nothing but, instead of a gossip rag, it's a gossip TV show. And we get to hear all about it. And then you've got these magazines, and I don't know why, I don't know how, but they come to my house. I've been getting them for a couple of years. Get this magazine, you know, and it's the one you see on the stand there at Walmart in the grocery store, and it's about this star and that star. And I look at the front page, and the cover, and I think, who cares? Throw it in the trash can. That's it. I mean, what difference does that make? But the world glorifies all of that, you know. So it's hard sometimes for God's people to get the real perspective they should. But if you can get that and you realize, boy, if I'll just learn to humble myself before God and I'll learn to identify with Him and to be what I am and ought to be as a Christian, boy, it puts everything in the world and everything the world has to shame. Well, that's what Moses did. Moses humbled himself before God. He chose to suffer affliction with the people of God. God appeared to him after he had spent some years in the wilderness. And God said, okay, Moses, it's time. Now we're going to turn you loose, all right? I am going to put you to work. And he was promoted. Now you say, well, why was he promoted? Well, first he humbled himself. Second thing I believe is because of his faith. Because of his faith. Moses trusted God to do exactly what God said he would do. Moses trusted. Now he said, now wait a minute, preacher. I remember back there at the beginning. I know. I remember those things when God spoke to him. Moses was almost, who, me? And God said, I picked you to stand before Pharaoh. And he said, you got the wrong guy. Pick somebody else. And he began to give God excuse after excuse. You said, what about that, preacher? I know. Well, you know, what about that? That means he's human. He's like us. Because how many of us offer the same excuses to God? We've got this, we plead inability, we plead unworthiness, and we try to talk our way out. And really what we're just pleading is that same old two-word thing, I can't. I can't. You got it wrong. I can't do that. Have you ever done that? You've been down that road with the Lord? Most of us have. Most of us, we read off all the excuses why I can't do that. I'm not the right person. Other people are more talented. And by the way, that could be very well true. But the thing is, God picked you. God picked me. And he didn't say, well, I'm picking you because of all of your talent. No. Listen, folks, he picks us because he wants us to lean on him. To lean on him, not lean on our ability. Not lean on our talent. Not come up and say, well, man, I've got this thing. I've got it figured out. In good shape, you know. I'm teaching at Bible college this semester, teaching professional communications. That's a fancy word for helping people get up and speak in front of somebody else, all right? And I'm always amazed at how many of the students in there you can tell, I do not want to be here. And simply because they're bashful, they're introverts, they're all of those things. And all I try to do to them is I say, look, you're among friends. You're among friends. I hear them talking. We were in class the other day, and they were talking about being an introvert and that kind of thing. I said, well, you're not going to believe this, but that was me when I was a kid. When I was a teenager, that was me. I was an introvert. I was. Hey, I'm still that way. You put me in the right situation in a crowd of folks that I really don't know any of them. They don't know me. And you get in that situation, I'm going to be the guy that just stands there and says nothing. I'm not going to be the one. Now, I told that class, I said, you get in a crowd like that, and maybe, I remember one time they had us seated at these round tables. It seems like there's always one person at the table that's the master of ceremonies. I mean, it's just coming out of them, you know. They're just talking to everybody. And the guy said, I was in a situation like that, and I was doing what I do. I was sitting there not saying anything, just listening. And finally, that guy that was the ringleader, you know, seemingly, well, what about you? And I wanted to say, why don't you leave me alone? Just leave me alone. I'm happy. You're happy running your mouth? Go for it. I'm happy sitting here very quiet, okay? But listen, God picked me just like he chose you. Now, he may not have called you to preach, but he's chose you to serve him. And our comment is, well, I can't. Well, that was Moses in the beginning. But wait a minute. You see, when old Moses got locked in, you see Moses was a man of faith. Moses was a man of faith. He went in and he did what God said. Started with going in there with that rod, cast it down, it became a snake. Reaching down, picking it back up, just doing exactly what God said. And he said, you go see Pharaoh, and he went. He went, and he presented all the signs and everything in front of him. And Pharaoh had run him out, and God said, go back. Moses said, okay, he go back. You look there, after he got over all that I can't stuff, Moses became a man of great faith. He just trusted the Lord, and everything God said to do, he did it. He did it. Now, I'm going to tell you this. You go back, you look there in chapter 11 at verse 3 where it says, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt in the sight of Pharaoh's servants and in the sight of the people. One of those reasons, I believe, was the faith of Moses. Hey, word got around. Word got around. That faith impressed the Egyptians. Can I say this to you this night? Great faith still impresses Now, they may not come to you and talk to you about it, but great faith still impresses people. People still look. They watch. They observe. They see your faith being displayed. It impresses people, all right? And it did then, and it still does. So one of the reasons God promoted Moses because of his faith. And the second one goes right along with it. Look, if you will, there in your Bible in chapter 11, down in verse 10, would you? I want you to notice what it says there in verse 10. And Moses and Aaron did all these wonders before Pharaoh, and the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart so that he would not let the children of Israel go out of his land. But what I want you to notice, that first part where it says Moses and Aaron did all these wonders. All of them. Not some of them, but every one of them. It says, hey, I believe God promoted Moses because of his obedience. His obedience. Now, I believe obedience comes right with faith. We're willing to obey God once we learn, hey, I can trust him. I'll do what you say. I'll do what you say. And he did it all. You see, outstanding faith produces outstanding obedience. Outstanding obedience. So Moses and Aaron, in the midst of everything, they did it, all right? They did it. They said, we're going to do everything you said, God. Everything you say to do, we're going to do it. We're going to obey you to the letter. And they did. Everything. Look, that's the way you and I are to live. We're to live in obedience. Remember what the Bible says? The Bible says to obey is better than sacrifice. If we'd learn to obey God, we'd just learn to obey God. God sent that message to King Saul when Saul decided, I'll do it the way I want to do it. And God said to him, no, to obey is better than you sacrifice. You need to do what I've said. And that's exactly what we need to do. Exactly what we need to do. Listen, you're working a job. You're working a job. Here you are, you're employed, you're working along. I got news for you. If that boss finds out they can trust you to do what you're told, you'll move up. You'll move up. If the boss finds out they can't trust you, you ain't going nowhere. Now, you may eventually go looking for another job, but if you the boss finds out, hey, I can trust him, they're going to do what I tell them to do, whether anybody's here or anybody's not here, this individual's going to do. Can I say this to you? That's what God feels like about you and I when it comes to obedience. I know. Remember what he said to the devil? The devil came along and God said to him, hast thou considered my servant Job? My servant Job. Why? Because Job was an obedient man. Job was a man who obeyed God. He had great faith, and that great faith produced great obedience. I will do what you have told me to do. I will be obedient to you. That's what God wants out of us. You say, well, I don't know what to do. Most of the time, I think we do. We know what to do. When I was a kid growing up, the whippings I got, it was not. I never remember pleading to my dad. Never remember pleading to my dad or my mom when I was in trouble. I never remember saying to them, well, I didn't know. Because the truth of the matter is, I knew. I knew. But I did my own thing. Said, I'm going to do what I want to do. But boy, if we'll learn, if I'm just going to do what God says to do, I'm going to be obedient to him, whatever the situation, whatever the circumstance, doesn't matter. I'm going to obey you, Lord. I'm going to do what you say to do. When Moses did that, so what did God do? God promoted him. God promoted him. He promoted him in the eyes of the people, all right? But not only that, I'm going to tell you, I believe there's a fourth reason. Not only because Job humbled himself, all right? And not only because he was a man of great faith, not only because he was obedient, I want you to see this. He was a man of great courage. Great courage, all right? Can I remind you, look, if you will, there, the Lord said he had sent Moses and Aaron back to see Pharaoh. But if you'll back up, would you look in chapter 10 and verse 28? Chapter 10 and verse 28. And Pharaoh said unto him, get thee from me, take heed to thyself, see my face no more, for in that day thou seest my face, thou shalt die. Hey, wait a minute. Pharaoh just told Moses, you come back, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you. All right? But God says to Moses, all right, He said, you've got a job to do. He said, in verse 4, Moses said, thus saith the Lord, about midnight will I go out into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt should die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth upon his throne, even unto the firstborn of the maidservant that is behind the mill, and all the firstborn of beasts. He said, that's what's coming, all right? That's what's coming. Hey, he's giving that message to Pharaoh. He said, how do you know? Well, look at the end of verse 8. The end of verse 8 says, and he went out from Pharaoh in great anger. All right? Why? He went. He went back. You say, wait a minute. Didn't Pharaoh said, I'll kill you if you come back? Yep, that's what he said. What I'm saying to you is Moses had some courage. Moses had some courage. The problem is we read the Word of God. And I think we read the Word of God without really thinking, you know. We read it after the fact. Now, if you're like me, I grew up in Sunday school. I grew up as a kid in Sunday school. I heard all of what we would call the Bible stories. I heard about Joseph. I heard about David. I heard about Samson. I heard about Daniel. I heard about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I knew the story, and I could have told you the outline of the story. But wait a minute. Wait a minute. We know that. And I think a lot of the times we forget the amount of courage that was required to do what those fellows did in those Old Testament, what we call Old Testament stories. We forget the courage that was needed. We forget the courage that was needed that Joseph had to have, all right? And think about the courage he had to have. Think about the courage it took with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they said to Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee. We're not careful. We're just going to lay it on the line. Hey, that's outstanding courage. Now, we read the story. We know what happened. Well, wait a minute. When those guys were looking Nebuchadnezzar in the face, they didn't know what was going to happen. But they had the courage to stand up in front of him, all right? Now, I want to tell you, it requires some courage to do what God says to do. It requires some courage. We live in a time, all right, that where a lot of people only see, if you will, the glamour of serving God, you know. They think about, well, you're out there in front of people and you're being seen and people look up to you because you're in that position. But they don't see the fact, hey, there's a lot of times there's nobody but you, and you've got to have the courage to stand when you face a difficult or a dangerous situation, and it just takes courage to be there. And when you get a crowd like that and they face that danger, they turn and run. They head for the hills, you know. But God said, hey, you know what? There's going to be some times you're going to need some courage. You're going to need some courage. You remember the first time you ever tried to witness to anybody? Did it not take some courage? It took some courage for you to go, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. Because we just have that fear, if you will. But we need to have the courage to do what God wants us to do. Just to step up and say, okay, this is what we're going to do. Hey, everybody that's ever been promoted by God had that courage. There's a fella by the name of Lester Roloff. This unassuming fella, didn't look like much. Boy, did God give him some courage. God gave him some courage. And he was willing to stand, all right? He was willing to stand. Well, we need that kind of courage, all right? We need it. Moses had that kind of courage. He had been told, you come back here, and I'm going to kill you. But he came back. But he came back. And he gave Pharaoh one more message. One more message. He gave Pharaoh one more time to get right with God. It took some courage to do that. Can I say this to you? Pharaoh, at the beginning here of Exodus, may have been the big man with all the fan mail, okay? He was one everybody was talking about when the contest with Moses began. Everybody had been there, and so they'd seen what had happened, but things had changed. Things had changed at this time. You see, by this time, that contest was drawing to a close. And the Bible says, even the servants of Pharaoh. Look again at verse 3. The servants of Pharaoh. All right. Moses was a great man in their sight. And then the Bible says, in the sight of all the people. All the people. That's the people of Egypt. Okay. That by the time this thing's over, everybody is admiring Pharaoh. Everybody is admiring Moses and wondering what's wrong with Pharaoh. I mean, here's a guy, he's been defeated at every time. All Moses is asking for is a chance to go in the wilderness, and our land has been put through all of this pain and suffering. They're looking up to Moses and wondering what's wrong with Pharaoh. Why? God promoted him, all right? Now, listen, just a literally 5 minutes and I'm going to be done, all right? There's a lesson here, okay? There's a lesson here for the people of God. Real quick, all right? Those that honor God, he will honor. Those that honor God, he will honor. He can bring honor to his own. It's not any problem. He did it in the days of Joseph. Think about it. Joseph was a nobody. When he was brought to Egypt, he was brought as a slave. Brought as a slave. But God knew how to honor Joseph because Joseph honored God with his life. So God knew how to take Joseph and honor him. Hey, he did it in the days of Mordecai. Mordecai was just a fellow sitting there at the gate, all right? Mordecai wasn't a big, important man. But he had some courage, and he knew what was right. He wouldn't bow and pay homage to Haman. God honored that. God honored that. He promoted Mordecai, all right? He promoted him. He's the one. It was God's doings that brought about the honor that came Mordecai's way, and it came from the king. All right, it came from the king. You said, how'd that happen? Read the book of Esther, okay? It's right there. Just read it. It's there. God brought it to pass. Why? Because God will honor his own. If you honor God, God will honor you. He did it in the days of Joseph. He did it in the days of Mordecai. He did it in the day of Moses, all right? Can I say this to you? There's nothing wrong with our God. He can still do it today. He can still do it today. He can still honor his man. You say, what do you need to do? Make sure you humble yourself before God. We live in a time where people think way too much of themselves. Way too much of themselves. We have an inflated opinion of how wonderful we are. Hey, just humble yourself before God. Just be willing to be honest. Lord, here I am. I'm nothing, but whatever I am, you've got it all. You'll humble yourself before him. Then learn to do what Moses did. Learn to trust God. Learn to trust him. This Bible's filled with promises. Learn to trust God. When God tells you to do something, do it. Now don't wait until you got it figured out how it all work. Just do what God says. Do what God says. If he says to go, then go. If he says to give, then give. All right? And by the way, he said both of those to all of us. He said both of those to every one of us. So what do? Trust him. Trust him. Do it his way. Do it his way. The world today tells you everything the Bible says and God says is wrong. I mean everything. From rearing children to anything. All of it. The world's dead wrong. But if you'll do it God's way, God will honor it. You'll trust him, all right? You'll obey him. Just obey him. Find out what he wants you to do and do it. Just find out what he wants you to do and do it. Now, don't do like some people do. Well, I'm doing everything I know to do, but I'm trying not to find out anything else he might want. No, that's the wrong way to go about it. It ought to be, Lord, here I am. What else you want me to do? What else? I've done that. Here I am. What else can I do? What else can I do? Is there something more I can do? Just learn to obey him. Do what he says. Have the courage then to stand and serve him. Just stand. Oh, there'll be opposition. Guarantee you there'll be opposition. Just have the courage to stand. Stay there and do it. Remember what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6? It says, having done all, to stand. All right? Just having done all, keep standing. Keep standing. So what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying God still promotes people today. You don't have to run your own promotion society. Just let God promote you. Just let God bring your name. You just keep doing everything that's right. You keep being obedient. You keep staying humble before God. You keep trusting him. You carry on in courage. Let God take care of it, okay? Let God take care of it. When he said there in 1 Peter 5, verse 6, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. But it's God's time. God's time. I've seen some people that man exalted too soon. You with me? Man exalted them too soon. Man lifted them up too quick. And they failed. They made a mess in life. Let God exalt you. Don't keep pushing yourself forward. Just make yourself, Lord, here I am. I'm available. Let him exalt you. He'll let him do it. Boy, you won't ever find yourself in a position where you've made a mess of things because you got ahead of God. He'll exalt you. He promoted Moses. He can promote you when it's time. When it's time, he can promote you. Heavenly Father, I pray you'd help us tonight. Help us see the truth of the Word of God. Lord, help us see that in the life of Moses. Moses trusted you. Lord, I know he argued with you at the beginning, just like we do today. When we try to tell you, Lord, you need to pick somebody else, somebody better at the job. But Lord, if we just trust you, humble ourselves and say, okay, Lord, I'm your servant. I'll obey you. I'll be faithful to you. And Lord, if necessary, I'll have the courage to stand when the time comes. And Lord, let us leave it in your hands as to when we're exalted, when we're promoted. Lord, it'd save us so much problem. Go with us now. Help us to live the way you'd have us to live. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you. It's good to have you tonight. You're dismissed.